All right, a couple of items before we get to Drew Hill at 1:25. James Wiseman has a new team, and it is not the Memphis Grizzlies. Oh. It's the Indiana Pacers.
Bring him home.
2-year deal for James Wiseman. Listen, it's probably not. He's going to Indiana, obviously, to replace Jalen Smith, who is with your Bulls now.
Great.
Yeah, you guys are just compiling the mediocrity, the mid.
Is anybody? DeMar's still out here, right?
DeMar is probably going to be a Laker.
Is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, like okay, that's okay.
I know he's been trying to get back to LA.
Yeah, they're probably going to make that happen.
Okay. And then we're trying to trade away LaVine.
Nobody will take LaVine.
I know. So we have to attach a first rounder. They won't even take it with a first rounder. And we re signed the florist. We traded Caruso for
Giddy. P. Giddy.
Thunder 15 or whatever they call him.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking good.
Yeah. But y'all just accept it, man. That's what I hear.
We still got Vucevic, right?
Oh, he's still there.
Yeah. Oh, happy. Still got Kobe coming off a great season. Kobe.
Y'all gonna hold on to that 23-24 Kobe White season like that man Kobe Bryant.
Well, it just came out from out of nowhere. Yeah. He had been a disappointment.
That's why Chicago is a great place, man, because you can just be a complete loser and they don't really care.
I know. Freaking Cubs.
Y'all don't have that.
I can't even look at Brad in the eye anymore. We have sucked ever since I mentioned the Cardinals were floundering. I just blew that.
My man Ryan Horvath.
What a mess we are. People should be fired.
From BetMGM tonight, canceled his MLB, you know, whatever they do, subscription, their TV deal, because he's a Cubs fan.
Exactly.
He says, I can't watch this anymore.
We're the biggest disappointments in baseball.
Cardinals are 4 games above 500 now.
Look at the Cards.
As soon as I started talking about their struggles,
it literally flipped
on me.
That's right.
I tell people, Stephen A. Smith does this, don't do it. I then do it. It hits me.
Sports karma got you. You gave me a dissertation on this.
We talked about sports karma.
Yeah.
I didn't subscribe to my own theory.
Yeah.
Cardinals in second place, 43-40.
It's crazy.
Excuse me. They're 3 games over 500, 6 games back at the Milwaukee Brewers.
It was the Contreras injury.
Yep.
And where y'all were at the time, mm-hmm. and where the Cubs were. I came in here a little snarky.
Yep.
Trying to be funny. But really just throwing shade on y'all.
Cubs are 39-46, John.
I don't know if we've won a game since.
Just mediocre.
So I don't want to
really
talk about,
bad.
I don't want to talk about soccer.
That manager.
And I don't want to talk about baseball.
Oh.
Okay? Oh, there's one more thing.
Oh, please.
Kyler Murray.
Oh, let's talk about Kyler Murray some
more. Don't bring it to my table. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, the best player in the NFL.
Kyler Murray versus Jalen Hurts. Something I'd never even put the two in the same sentence.
Yeah, but think
but
about it.
But don't bring it to my table.
Think about it.
USA soccer.
Think about it.
Baseball.
Exactly.
You have a damn about these things.
You got Jeffrey Simmons as he's, what do you say, fingernails or whatever he called Caleb Williams?
Painted nails.
Painted nails, yeah. Painted nails.
He's asking for it.
So, look, we got to get back to James Wiseman.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
James would have been, I think, he would have made some level of sense for the Grizz. I would have been in favor of it. He would have been a gamble because you don't know. He has not been a reliable backup big man or anything in his whole entire career. So it would be the first time that he was that on a high leverage winning team. So I get the reticence in a way, but I would ask, you know, yes, if you can get Daniel Tice, you know, you just have to do that. I mean, that anytime,
one way or the other.
Anytime you get a chance to add Daniel Tice to your team, as many franchises have found out over the years, you have to do it.
I wouldn't go that far.
Boston, the Clippers, he's played for some big winning teams.
Well, Boston won after Tice.
They also won after Marcus
Memphis
Smart.
Will win so after Dylan Brooks.
They can get all the Celtics that didn't help their franchise win a title and assemble them in Memphis. So let's get him. Let's get who else can we get? Kyrie. Let's get a reunion of Kyrie.
Yeah.
Who's another notable Celtic that let me just pull up the 2018 Celtics roster, man. You know, that's a good place to start. We can get Aaron Baines. We can get Gordon Hayward. Oh, I heard some Gordon Hayward talk with the Grizz. Let's get him. Greg Monroe, Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
You know, those types. Right, Brad Wanamaker,
yeah.
Who is black, believe it or not.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of letters on the back of that jersey. It's like a full half circle.
Right. But at any rate, I think James would have made some sense, but I also understand, like, you know, it's probably just not, you know, they need some dependency behind Zach.
Well, you have the young guy.
Right. You already have
the
young guy.
Zach Edey.
Adding another young guy behind him. You know, I get it. It would have been a very big gamble. But it could also pay, it could pay off for Indiana. Like, they could end up – he was the number two pick, right?
Who's done that, though?
Revive their career?
Like that. That high to start looks like bust, comes back.
The Lakers dude that was in the G League for like Andre Ingram.
No.
He was in the G League for his whole career.
No.
And then he got that season with
the
Lakers.
Right, the call-up, right. I mean, that was a great story. He was 30-something or whatever. I said, no, it's not this. He was never going to be. He was never a number two draft pick.
Yeah. But, I mean, he did. Spring,
there haven't been many.
He did. Can't be. He averaged 12 points a game in 2017-18.
That's ridiculous.
Now, he only played two games. But that's what
I'm saying. Now I see.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Andre Ingram had a bounce back, just like James can have.
You just don't see it.
Well,
so something's missing that we can't see.
All right, let me just pull up.
Very real.
Let me just pull up the 2019 NBA draft. I'm just going to pull it up. I'm just going to see if there's a high pick. I mean, he's been on a lot of teams, right? Like, he's been on a lot of that. I think that's the, you know, that's the, he's been on three teams since he got drafted in 2020. That's what you don't see. Like, DeAndre Hunter has had a bad career probably overall, you'd say, but he's still with his original team. High pick, like, number two, you're right. You're probably not going to see that. You're just not going to see that.
Right.
So
there still might be something there, but it's probably not stardom.
Yeah, I mean, when you sort of, you know, have to qualify.
If we can just be back consistent,
yeah,
back
like Marvin
big
Bagley
in the league.
Marvin never got back, right?
Not really.
Yeah, like, you know.
If we can be consistent, back up big in the league, then, you know, right, that may have to be James Wiseman's story now. But, that would be an uptick from where it is right now. So,
right.
So hopefully he can get to that.
Although Marvin Bagley's numbers are better than I thought. He averages 13-7 in the league.
That's not bad.
I mean, I thought
but
he was.
He's just always been a underachiever for where the expectations were.
Right.
But never one that was gone and bounced back in a big way.
He's never started for an entire season.
Wow. Folks used to love him coming out of that draft. There were a lot of people super high on him.
He's never.
Walking double-double.
Right. Yeah. I was one of them. I'm dead serious. I wanted the Grizz to draft him. But I don't think he was there, right? I don't think he was available. I think that would have been the Jaren draft, right? It's definitely not been done before, but I think it could happen. You know, I mean, that's actually the first situation that James is going into that's actually good. You know, the Detroit, awful. Warriors, for him in that moment, awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll actually get some coaching with Rick Carlisle.
No, it's good.
You know, yeah. And he'll have a very clear role. You got a 2-year deal.
Yeah, and like you said, would he be Jalen Smith's replacement?
Yeah, I mean, the bar is pretty low, dude.
But the opportunity is there, is my point.
Exactly.
To go out there and be a backup big.
Exactly. Now,
go get it, James. We're rooting for you.
Now, while we're on the subject of Memphis Tigers, I'm sure you're asking why the Memphis championship game in 2008 is back in the news. Because it is. The shot, the Chalmers shot, as if we haven't had to relive that one enough. It's back in the news. Because according to Mark Schlabach of ESPN, Mario Chalmers and Sherron Collins, Brian Boatwright, and Arizona guard Jason Terry are among 16 former men's college basketball players who have sued the NCAA and multiple conferences for the unauthorized use of their name, image, and likeness in March Madness highlights. So Mario Chalmers obviously hit the shot that tied the game with 2.1 seconds left and sent the game to overtime, which they later won. That is a very commonly used highlight.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you see it all the time. This is what the lawsuit says. Mario Chalmers, Sherron Collins, and other members of the 2008 Kansas Jayhawks National Championship team have been paid nothing by the NCAA or its partner, Turner Sports Interactive, for the continued use of their names, images, and likenesses in promoting and monetizing March Madness. The same is true for thousands of former NCAA athletes across all sports whose names, images, and likenesses are continuing to be displayed for commercial purposes by the NCAA, its member conferences, and its partners, such as TSI. So, There's some interesting names that are part of this lawsuit, some that you might recognize. Alex Oriaki, UConn.
Oh, yeah, I remember him for UConn.
DeAndre Daniels, UConn. Mm-hmm. Roscoe Smith, UConn. Let's see. Is there anybody else that I can recognize here? Not really. But yeah, they're going at the NCAA for using their name, image, and likeness. And I don't know if they'll be successful, but because if they get it, won't everybody have to get it?
Seems like it.
Like, everybody, you know. Like, what about the current people? What about the current players? They don't get anything out of the TV deal, do they?
I don't think so.
Like, there is this new legislation, right, about in terms of payouts and stuff like that. I don't know if that's related to television or anything like that, but it does sort of just give you that reminder, though. Like, I don't blame former players who got nothing from the, you know, out of all the, they, yeah, the current climate is great for the new player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get the NIL money from your school and your collective and all that. But what about me? I did the same thing. I didn't get nothing out of it. So come back and get it. You might as well give it a shot, right? Give it a chance. See if you can get anything out of it. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about this. This might be Caleb Mills-ish in terms of you wasting your time.
I mean, how would you feel about it if you were Mario Chalmers?
That they keep showing it?
Yeah.
I would love it.
You'd love it?
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to get the bag?
I mean, I guess if I thought I could, but I'm not sure they got a case here, man. Again, you got to give me more to. I don't feel like this is one a cashable opportunity, a bankrollable opportunity here. I could be wrong, but I'd be happy they're continually showing me.
Yeah, like I'll say
because
I'll
I'd figure his relevance is dying out. I mean, where he spent last year with the Zamboanga, the Valientes.
Where the hell is that?
I don't know. Sounds like it. Sounds like overseas somewhere. Filipinos.
Okay.
Filipino professional basketball team.
Okay.
Like he's losing relevance.
Well, yeah, but he's saying
he's still worth $12 million.
Yeah, he made NBA money. He was in the league for a while.
So we don't need the money.
He was good with the Grizzlies. That man was putting up like triple double numbers.
Bro, they're gonna cancel you. We're gonna forget about 08.
What?
They're gonna take the highlight off.
Oh, they'll do that, yeah.
You're gonna be forgotten about.
But they still ran it though, X amount of times.
My point is I'd rather have it on there and stop messing with it. It's the history of the league. Keep running it.
Right.
I'm not hurting for money, right? I don't care unless I'm counting about relevance, and that's done. His career's over. Just let it be. That's how I'm going to stay relevant. That's how I'm going to stay immortal, bro.
Yeah.
They're always going to show it. You do this. They're pulling it off. We're going to forget about the shot. Bill Self just be telling the story. Folks won't even be able to see it.
Right.
Did it happen? Then you lose all relevance that you still had.
Let me ask you this.
I just don't think it's worth it.
Let me put it to you like this.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's hundreds of thousands here that he
what's
can,
your,
I don't
what's
think
your,
so.
What's your favorite sitcom right now? I'm not talking about all time. I know the answer to that. And we're not talking about that. But what's your favorite sitcom at the moment?
When you say sitcom.
You know what I'm saying. Like the family show that's funny and stupid.
Family show?
I
don't do many with Chris like family shows.
Okay, well, let's just say that, you know, your favorite.
So adult show? Like
yeah,
I'll,
you know, like a.
I mean, like The Shy is good. I watch it with Faith. Though.
Okay,
Chris,
The Shy.
I wouldn't call it a family show.
Let's use The Shy as an example, okay?
Okay.
And let's say that there was a scene, right, where they were in the vehicle and they were having a conversation. And in the background, you hear a conversation that you and I had on radio. They've clipped it, and they're using it in this scene where you and I are talking about Kyler Murray. I don't know, right? But you didn't get paid for that. Would you say, I love that?
I'm the dude that didn't get paid. Undefeated.
And you wake up in cold sweats.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't. I said, you know what? My kid's going to be able to see that. He still hasn't seen it at 10 years old. I'm going to say, he's going to be able to
dust
off an old DVD, and he's going to see he's going to see a daddy on there much younger. And that's great.
Is that really great?
They can never take it away from me, can they?
But you deserved compensation because it was a commercially produced film.
I'll tell you, it's something I thought about, though. And I guess this is different because it's music. If you're using my music, then yes, because that is my content. But in that, they used the song we used for our open. They used it in The Shy, in a dance scene. So was our man paid for that, Key Glock? Or are you just good with it being used because you're in a freaking sitcom that's going across the country, and they're using it in Chicago. Other people are going to go to YouTube now, learn about you because of that song. And that's a good thing as opposed to, and I'm kind of getting paid in that way in terms of my brand as opposed to, hey, give me that $20,000 because y'all, or that $50,000 because y'all used my song.
I would rather
let's go.
I would rather get the money
in the show Shy.
Because because I don't want to have to play the game of what this might look like or what this might mean for me down the line.
I'm with you on if the payday is worth it. Like, again, if Mario Chalmers, if we're talking about $1 million here, sure. But if we're only talking about a few thousand here, isn't having your picture up there and the sort of immortality of that and the how having
but he's
your,
not gonna get
your
anything
song,
out of that.
Your song in a hot show. What do you mean? It's how he'll always remain a part of the NCAA tournament
well,
in history.
Well, whether they use
like
it or not.
It was one of the greatest shots in NCAA tournament history.
Yes.
If they don't use it, we will forget about it in a way that, you know, yeah, sure, you and I will be able to tell the story.
Right.
But the rest of the nation in college basketball will forget about that shot.
So if the shot.
They're not seeing it every
so if
year.
The, like, for me, it would be Hogan Knows Best. Like, that was my favorite show. So if Hogan Knows Best was using our discussion about you saying Jerry Lawler needs to retire.
I mean, some
I would
part
say
of me would go, holy cow, we're on Hogan Knows Best. They're talking about us.
They're
they
not
used our
about
stuff.
Us. They're not talking about us. They're just using
I mean,
our
we
stuff
would have
for
to think we're
bag.
Pretty damn valuable
well,
to
say,
think that we can go in and cash in on them using a portion of that silly Kyler Murray, Jalen
no,
Hurts
Jerry
interview.
Jerry Lawler should retire segment for this purpose.
I mean, some part of it has to be about, man, you know, you're getting more in terms of the views and eyeballs on it for your own brand and everything that you say you're getting more out of.
You sound
the,
like one
the,
of them.
Than that
you sound
little
like
bitty bag.
That's what they want you to think.
I mean, if we're talking hundreds of thousands and millions,
what about $15,000?
Obviously, you're going to investigate
$15,000.
It's not enough.
For what?
For them not to use my clip of
okay,
the damn
30,000.
Jalen Hurts,
35,000.
Kyler Murray 50, conversation.
75,000. No. 95,000.
Again, I'm the guy who does not wake up sweating every day.
175,000.
Because I signed the agreement that said you're not getting paid
right.
for what will eventually be an Oscar-winning documentary.
And if you could go back and do it
and
again,
I'm fine with that.
Would
I'm
you
fine.
Have changed?
No, man, I'm fine with it, man. Again, I think something would have changed with the paper or something. We all had to sign it.
Do y'all remember Donnie Young and, of course, the famous Memphis, Memphis, Memphis clip?
Yes.
You notice that used to be on Giannotto and Jeffrey's intro years ago when that
yes.
clip came out? We got a C&D from Donnie's lawyer.
Yeah.
And we removed it
yeah.
at their request because we were playing it. WMC aired the news story that made that clip famous. Right. When you look at it on YouTube, even
right.
it says WMC. And we granted them that. I'm like, okay, you don't want that on there? We'll take that off of there. So you are making a determination. We're going to collect money for said clip, or
exactly.
WMC as a reporter or reporting outlet
right.
gets to reap the benefits because they reported it. It's their footage.
Correct.
But y'all pony up. And so I can understand that. Now, on the Chalmers one, you're a college basketball player in a time pre-NIL, right? And I don't mean to make this a litigation course in college, but we got time. You are now retroactively, after being a millionaire basketball NBA player, in a positive clip that clearly says, Chalmers for the win.
Right.
Like, it's the best moment you ever had as an athlete.
It is.
Okay? I'm kind of with Jason. Like, I'm going to let that roll as my marketing piece. But I can see if you were really needing it, you're hard up for money, man.
If he was hard up.
Yeah,
right.
If you were hard up, you might go, hey, but bro, I'm going to try to collect. So, I don't know. That's
but
my take.
But maybe he is. I mean,
well,
again, this
is.
It's
not just Chalmers. It's other. It's 16 total.
It's a bunch of these other dudes. He's
Jason Terry.
And he's got
not,
a big name.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, so it's not. I mean, Jason Terry made untold amounts of money in the league, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was a longtime NBA guy.
Now, I will add, when we play music on this station, we play BMI ASCAP fees to do
right,
that.
It's licensed.
That's why a lot of these
yes.
YouTubers and bloggers
yes.
have to go way above and beyond
right.
because
yes.
they don't have that liberty. We pay a fee for this.
I'm not mad at Donnie Young for copywriting his, you know.
I'm down with it. He's probably trying to do t-shirts and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we remember we had Terry, back up Terry?
Yeah.
And he didn't get that. So he had a lot of imposters
yeah.
who were making shirts and selling shirts with the things that, now, how do you copyright like a quote like that? I don't know.
Now, here's what I would add.
Right, and whose content is that? Is that not Channel 5's? You did the interview. You
yeah,
to
you
the,
get to, WMC
they not
gets
determine,
to keep
when,
it.
When he
they
said that, that's
it.
Where I wanted to go back to. Was
but,
that,
but it's the, it's but, the, it's you, though.
It's
you.
It's, yeah,
it's
now
your
it's,
image and likeness,
it's
but it's
here's what I would
their
say,
content, though.
Though,
is it not?
If I was the person trying to make money from it, I'd look at it differently. I'd say, how can I work with said partners who are airing this thing and try to use them, if they are so hard up to use it, to capitalize and make money? money? Because otherwise it's very difficult to make money on this stuff. Very difficult.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, they have some reason to believe that they could, you know, whoever it is, they have Mario Chalmers has some reason to believe he'll get a come some kind of, and that group believes they'll get some kind of settlement.
He might.
And Donnie Young believes that he'll have a better, you know, he'll get compensated for the use if he copyrights it or whatever the case may be. So, there. I mean, look, Buffer copyrights his stuff, right?
Yeah, and we have, that's the hardest. He spends millions of dollars to make millions more by going after radio stations. We cannot play the clip that you're talking about. And we're obviously very sensitive to it, all three of us, because every friggin' year, Odyssey sends a memo saying he will sue our ass if you even think about playing that and it's that Jocks Jam thing, because he's on the friggin' CD.
Yes. And I don't know.
Well, then all of this, what you guys are saying, then Hawk Tua Girl needs to go immediately and do it.
She, 100%, Jason.
I'm sure she 100%. Has, if she has any
that's where the money's
advice.
At for her. Yes, because that YouTube clip's going to live in infamy.
Again, when Channel 5 asks him that question, dude is not thinking, what's going to come out of my mouth right now is something that I can copyright.
That's right.
And so that's why I go back to, I don't know how much control over it you, right? I mean, that's where I struggle, I should
and
say.
And I also want
with how much
there.
Control he should have over it. This wasn't a Michael Buffer's thing. He plans, and that's a performance when he says that.
Yeah.
And when you're taking that from him, you're taking his performance and making it your own. That feels different to me than answering a question to Channel 5 where something viral comes out that clearly you weren't planning to make money off of, but you now you're going back retroactively.
Don't even
again,
say
Buffer's. Again, I'm not hating on the attempt to go back, but what I'm saying is he didn't get the money from us because he did the C&D, right?
Yes.
And so you agree. And now it's off, and now it's not being played.
That's right.
And so now it's kind of, you know, I'm not going to say dying because the thing went viral, but my point is that's where I go back to Mario.
You're not pounding it.
Now they're not hearing it anymore. And I'm not getting money because I didn't sue you. I didn't sue 92.9. I asked for a cease and desist. You all did it, so there's no money involved.
Right.
And now I'm not on the air.
Yeah, we're not
so that feels to
you.
Me like a lose-lose. I would rather be on constantly. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying about Mario.
That's
I don't
it.
Think the money, if the money again is worth it, then absolutely go for it. But if it's not, dude, this is how you stay immortal. This is how we will always remember you, your part in this tournament, hitting one of the greatest shots ever. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. If I have something like that out there, I want that out there personally because I'm going to try to figure out how to work with you to make money for me. That's what, and that's especially a Memphis-oriented one. It's not wise for you to take something that's banging like a record over and over and over again off. You need it on. You know, it's like a hit record.
I can hear that.
The virality of it.
I can hear the argument there. I could see both sides there.
If you're going to just acquiesce to the C&D and I'm not getting anything out of it, and now I'm not on,
right?
I mean, how have I helped?
I think that's one where I would have. I mean, that's pretty harmless, right? Like I would have just kind of let that be. But again, that's not
Chalmers might win money though.
Yeah,
it's just going to take a lot of money to make money.
My thing is, would Jason Terry and all these guys be involved, guys who we don't think need to, if they didn't think there was a big payoff at the end
they
of this and that it was worth
coming.
It, but there must be, they must feel like they got a pretty darn good case.
Yep, we'll see. We'll follow it, man. We'll definitely follow it. Jason, anybody out there, if you have any kind of job, any kind of position, Jason willing to do it free of charge. He will do it. Because what you want exposure.
You are really stretching what I said there.
You want exposure. You want to get the exposure. So if you do have an opening for Jason, let him know. He will be here after 2 o'clock today.
Especially if it's going to go win an Oscar.
Yes.
I'll do it for free.
Y'all have quite a few drops that we air a lot that are incredibly memorable. Like drops, if they air a lot, whether it's Tubby or, you know.
No, I never saw it like a copyright on the Tubby. Yeah.
No, but it's part of our brand.
What
it's
about
part
the
of your
Godfather?
Brand.
You know? Yeah. How come you
but didn't things like that.
There?
Everybody uses The Godfather. It's a criminally underrated segment.
No, but things like that for brands or markets, and we're part of that here on the show, like part that's how you get. That's how you get a brand, and when it goes away, it can go away fast.
That's right. No, that is true. That is 100% true. We'll talk to Drew Hill, get his thoughts on what the Grizzlies did, their backup big man pursuit, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Audie China FM, ESPN. Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Normally joins us Thursday, but that's the 4th of July. Everybody's going to be celebrating my birthday. So he's been nice enough to join us now. Drew, what's up, man?
What's up, guys? I'm down here in sunny Florida preparing for summer league. So it's good. Everything's good on my end. How about you, sir?
Is that where we prepare for summer league now?
Thanks for doing this from Florida.
Is that a thing?
Thank you.
No, I got to get a little bit of family time in eventually. So we came down here. We've been doing car shopping. I don't know if you've ever done any of that. It's a little tough.
So we've been handling that, and as you can probably hear, the alarm honking in the background. But everything's good, man. It's good. Life is nice. It's a nice sunny and 90 degrees outside.
No, I will say I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed that my man Chip Pleasant has always taken good care of me at Audi. And so I got to tell you, I have not really gone car shopping in a long, long time. And I am glad because it is hard. And I know some people very close to me that are having a very tough time and have gone through that. And so I wish you the best. And I definitely hope that it's going well for you. All right, you're pursuing a new car. The Grizzlies are pursuing a veteran big man. Latest that they were linked to was Daniel Tice. That one would make sense to me. I referenced a March 3rd win by the Clippers, 89-88 over the Timberwolves, in which Tice played 29 minutes against the Timberwolves front line and held his own. Would that signing make sense to you for the Grizz?
Yeah, it makes sense, but I think there's some moves that you have to do before you get to that point. Everybody's waiting on Luke Kennard right now, yeah. And I think that, you know, my inclination is that something is expected to get done there still. I know, like, it's been widely reported, like, don't freak out that it hasn't happened yet. Obviously, it is a little bit playing with fire a little bit, I feel like, at this stage, you know, to still have him be unsigned. But you would have to make roster moves that make sense, because if you sign Kennard, well, now your roster's full, so you have to make some trades to open up some roster spots to get a guy like that. I do think it's a guy that makes sense. All these things may be connected, you know, like I tend to think that maybe we're at the point where the Grizzlies anticipate that some roster move will be made. I mean, I think it'd be fair to speculate that maybe somebody on the team that isn't really of much use on the wing at this point, whether that be Zaire or another player, you know, a player that may be better having a fresh start somewhere else. Maybe you get a chance to trade them, open up a roster spot. You might have to attach some incentives to get somebody to take on salary like that. Now you have a spot for Daniel Tice, you know, if you're able to pull something like that off, and you would have a spot for Luke Kennard, and you'd have some clarity in terms of the money that Luke Kennard could make. So, you know, I know it's hard to be patient, but I think these dominoes will fall soon enough, and we'll have a little bit better sense. As far as Tice goes, like, yeah, that is the type of player you think you would like to add, you know, on the back end of the front court. We talked about how it'd be great if they added that premier front court player. They think they did that in Edie, and then you probably need a second big because you also traded, you know, Xavier Tillman away in the middle of the season. So for all those reasons, I think you know, that would make sense if they were to get a deal done like that.
Drew, what might a Luke Kennard deal that works for the team and works for him look like? I mean, it feels like that's kind of where we're at right now. And I'm speaking, obviously, I'm not asking you to predict it. I'm speaking very ballpark, but just in terms of numbers and, you know, years and dollars, you know, what kind of feel do you have that would make sense for both sides?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really want to rule anything out there. I'm not trying to be intentionally vague, but, like, you know, going into this, you would have expected, all right, if they're not going to pick up the option, maybe that means that they have to give him more years,
right,
at a little bit less money to make a deal like that work. I think 10 was a number we've speculated, right? Maybe they don't even have to go all the way to 10. Maybe they can come in a little under 10. I think that would be a pretty big win if,
yeah,
you could get him,
no doubt,
2 years and a little bit under 10. Like, that'd be pretty good for the Grizzlies.
Oh, yeah.
If you could get him on a one-year deal, that might be even better. But, like, again, you know, is he going to take a one-year deal? Because it's not all that different from what the team had the opportunity to do, which was to pick up the team option. So I will say, like, Luke seemed happy in Memphis, and he had a kid here, and, you know, he's in a good situation for him to, you know, see the floor a lot and get to play in a role that I think suits him well. And, you know, he's going to see the court because the Grizzlies don't have a lot of shooting outside of him.
Yep.
Like, he's not the only shooter that's available. I know Beasley's out there. Like, there's a few others. But I just think that it would be a good situation for him. So I would be surprised if he wasn't a Grizzly next year. Again, the longer this takes, I guess the least confident you get. But at this stage, I'm not panicking on the Luke Kennard stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. In terms of, you know, how he moves the needle for the Grizz, like, what sort of does that look like for him? Like, again, I think what's difficult is that all of this stuff with the Grizzlies has felt, unfortunately, a lot more hypothetical and theoretical than practical and something that's actually taken place. So in a perfect world, like, what is Luke's role look like for the Grizzlies next year?
Yeah, I mean, I think you want him as a bench player with a little bit of scoring pop for you, and as a specialist in situations where you need three-pointers. Yeah. Like, I don't think he's, you know, he's not one of your stars. You don't envision him as a starter. But I think that that position does matter, and especially on a team that, like, was 29th in team three-point percentage last year. Like, you have got to be better than that. And, you know, Gigi was great. Like, he was an outside shooting threat, and you hope that is the case again. But he shot a really good percentage, and, you know, it is theoretically possible that he's not going to shoot that good. I mean, Vince shot the best percentage of his career. It's theoretically possible that he may not shoot that well. But, like, you know what you're getting in Luke, right? I'm not saying that those guys aren't going to shoot it better. Vince and Gigi, like, they very well could. But, you know, you only hit the top of your career in three-point shooting a couple of times, typically. So, with Luke, you know you're getting a 40% three-point shooter. And I think that that is pretty important, and it'll be really nice to have that if they're able to do it.
It is being, and you can dismiss me, Drew, but set us straight, is being in the rookie of the year discussion too lofty, you know, a thought when it comes to Zach Edey? Because we're talking about a guy who we're saying very likely could be the starter at center to start. And so the opportunity is going to be there. I realize we've still got to figure, I mean, there's a ton to figure out about how he'll hold up, how many minutes is he going to play. But is being in the discussion, at least just being there in the discussion, I ain't saying finish second or third, is that too lofty when we're talking about expectations for Zach Edey in first year?
No, I don't think so at all. Just because this rookie class is, you know, we don't know what to make of it. There will be some surprises and some guys that play really well this year. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. But he's coming into a situation where he's going to be on a good team, and he's going to be paired with Ja often on the court. You know, that's obviously going to help. He's going to be paired with Jaren on the defensive end, which should theoretically also help him, on that side of the court, because Jaren will be funneling guys towards him at the basket, and he'll just be able to stand there and use his size to impact shooting, you would think. So who's stepping into a better situation that you feel really good about that's a rookie? I'm not sure that there is one. Like, this role was tailor-made for a guy like Zach Edey, right? To get to play with this super dynamic, super fast point guard that can make you look good when you roll to the basket, that can, you know, to play next to a former defensive player of the year that's going to cover up a lot of your mistakes on that side of the court. I don't know if there's a rookie. It's a great question to ask, that's stepping into a role that is, like, specifically set up for him to not only start, but, like, start and have an impact. So I think that Zach Edey will have a chance at that, especially if the Grizzlies are good. Like, that's going to play in his favor as well if they're able to stay healthy and win games. So I don't see why not, Jason. I really don't. I don't see why he couldn't be a part of that conversation.
In terms of summer league, you know, Wemby played two games in the Vegas summer league before they shut him down. Do you sort of, because the Grizzlies have a lot of players that you would think they would be very quick to the trigger in terms of shutting down, whether it's Zach, whether it's Gigi Jackson. I mean, do you anticipate it being pretty short stints for them, you know, one, two games, maybe three in the summer league before that all ends?
Well, I haven't asked around on this, so this is just pure speculation and guess on my part. And we don't even technically have a roster, so it's hard to know for a fact who's going to be on the team and who's not. I hope we're not surprised by somebody we think is going to be on the team being left off. I hope that's not the case. I think that they'll use him in maybe, yeah, that 3-4-5 range is right around the range where I think they probably cut it off. And in the past, they've basically stopped using their guys at the tail end of summer league. And the way that the schedule is set up is, like, you're playing three straight games in Utah. Are they all really going to play back-to-back-to-back games? Probably not.
Nope.
You're playing an early game in Vegas with a break, like with a 2 days off in Vegas there. And then you're coming back with back-to-back games to close it. Like, are they really going to play in those back-to-back games at the end? Probably not. So maybe you get to four. I feel like four would be a good guess if you're trying to guess how many games like Edie and Gigi will play, assuming that they are both there. We are not surprised by the roster whenever they announce it.
And I got to ask you, what do you think about what OKC's done? I guess I could go down the list in the West, but they were at the top last year, and we've talked about it. And the Hardenstein thing, you know, bringing over Caruso instead of Giddey, who got played off the floor. It's hard not to like what OKC, the situation they've got going, right?
Oh, yeah. I think OKC's going to be really good. I mean, I said on draft night, like, OKC is like the Costco of the NBA because they have everything in bulk, right? Like, that's exactly that's how it works, right? Like, they had a billion draft picks to the point where they're able to just ship five of them off like it's absolutely nothing. And you have all these assets and all of these young players that you're able to maneuver your roster pretty much whichever way you want. I mean, OKC should be really, really good next year. I would be surprised if they're not. And that's part of the tank job that they did, right? Like, Sam Presti just stacked everything up in bulk as much as he possibly could. Yeah. And now he's just unleashing all of the assets that he had, and he's been able to build a great roster. So, yeah, OKC is going to be tough. I mean, they may be the favorite, honestly, right now. It's going to be them or Denver to be atop the West in the regular season.
Yep, no question. Hey, Drew, this is great stuff.
Thank you for doing this, brother.
Man. Thank
you. Enjoy Florida.
Yep, thanks, guys. See
ya. He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizz for the Daily Memphian. We'll come back and wrap this up here on a Tuesday. Jason and John, Arnie Trinan FM, ESPN. ESPN has a 2025 NFL mock draft up, and it's quite fascinating for a number of reasons. One, the number one pick, according to ESPN right now in next year's draft, is Carson Beck from Georgia. I did not think he was that guy. I did not think that Carson Beck was a number one type pick, but he apparently is. So I got to update my priors. And then secondly, ESPN has Shedeur Sanders, Colorado, son of Deion, going number two in a trade between the Panthers and the Raiders. The Raiders get up to number two to take Shedeur Sanders. Which
very exciting.
I have the same concerns about Shedeur Sanders that you have about Bryce in terms of the body, right? Shedeur Sanders is not a big guy, and he's not that mobile. He's not a run out of the pocket, elude tacklers. Like, he's a pocket passer when he's at his best. I would enjoy it from the sense of, okay, at least we have a vision, at least we have a plan, but. You know, I do wonder how he'll translate, you know, just because of the size. You know, I don't think of him as a super big guy. 6'2", 215. I mean, it's not light. It's not as light as Bryce.
But Bryce, like 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah,
right?
he's a little bigger than Bryce. But
so it's seeing over the line is not the issue with Shedeur.
He's kind of like, you know.
You're right about weight, though. I mean, he's slight of build.
Who's
6'2"? He's not some big, thick dude.
Who's a 6'2 quarterback?
I mean, what's Jalen Hurts? Is he not 6'2?
I don't know.
Right around that. I'm looking right now. He's 6'1. 223, yeah. Though. Boy, thick.
Kirk Cousins is 6'2, they say.
Okay.
That can't be right.
6'2 is fine.
That can't be
the,
right.
The height is fine for Shedeur. Here's the deal, John. It's very sexy.
6'3.
It's very sexy. And I am intrigued by the prospect that Shedeur Sanders is.
Dak 6'2.
I got questions. Better plan would be to go after the guy that you just mentioned, the guy that just came out of your mouth. I would go after Dak Prescott before I have more confidence in him.
Absolutely.
Than I do in Shedeur. Now, you're getting a guy that you know what he is. Now, while you may not think he's reached his ceiling in Dak because there's playoff games that haven't been won by Dak, Super Bowls that haven't been won, you know, you're on the younger end with Shedeur, and
right.
You're catching him on a rookie contract with this, which then allows you, obviously, to address the rest of your team. So bringing in Dak on a monster contract, you could argue, isn't as smart as going rookie and all the hope and, you know, everything else that you can do with your team because you've got all that rookie money to spend on the rest of the team. But, you know, who do you have more faith in? I mean, Dak Prescott or Shedeur Sanders? I'd, if I'm y'all, I'd go after Dak.
Right.
Because y'all got pieces right now.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? A few, especially defensively.
Yep.
And then with DeMonte.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that totally.
Dak over Shadur.
Yes.
Now, if Dak's out the question, though, I don't mind this plan. You got to go get you a quarterback at some point, whether it's him, Carson Beck.
Yeah.
You know, you have to try again, to your point.
I've that's kind of like been, once I heard Fitz say that, I was like, all right, that's where my head's at.
I sent a light bulb off with me when he said it a couple weeks ago.
Because Dak is a competent quarterback. I mean, we could nitpick like we always can, but he's a proven NFL thrower.
Well, the nitpicking about him would be about postseason. And winning the big one. It's not about regular season numbers.
Fail in the playoffs.
Like, come on now. Yeah, getting back to that for the Raiders would be a good thing.
Exactly.
Just making the playoffs on a perennial basis.
Yes. So, I think that's...
pretty sexy, though. You see where they got us picking 17, which means what? Doesn't it mean we'll be just outside the playoffs?
Yeah, mediocre. Yeah.
Yeah, just outside.
As you know, I disagree with him that the Panthers will be picking number two.
You don't think it'll be Patriots, Panthers, like he's got at least...
I think Patriots is right. Yes. I don't think the Panthers will be that high, though.
Oh, shock the world, according to you.
I think the Broncos are right. I think the Titans will be higher than four. Commanders could be bad.
Everything, I don't know. And again, it's off season, it's OTAs. Man, Jaden Daniels, the reviews on him have been way higher than the reviews on Caleb early. Believe me, I've been paying attention.
Well, the expectations are already just so high for Caleb, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to have more hype.
The whole never having taken this snap from under center.
Right.
He's only been shotgun.
Right.
So we're having to teach him.
Right.
How to take... Now, did Jaden Daniels take some snaps under center? I'm assuming he did.
I don't think so.
They're
dude.
Acting like Caleb has never done it in his life.
I don't recall seeing Jaden Daniels.
Maybe not. Maybe all their offense was the same, was the Joe Burrow, you know, drop a couple steps and fire, you know, from shotgun. I don't... It just seemed like to me, I haven't seen the same sort of, we've got to get him used to taking snaps that I've seen with Caleb Williams, that with Jaden. All the reviews on Jaden so far have just been through the roof. Remember, at one point, I thought, might be smarter to take Jaden Daniels than Caleb Williams.
I hope that I'm
not going to end up being right about that.
I just feel like everybody plays quarterback out of shotgun now. Like, you just don't see any under center stuff. I mean, in the NFL, you will, but.
Yeah, you got to be able to do it.
You don't see a ton. You see a lot of...
Certainly not from your boy Kyler Murray. He's all shotgun.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Little bug gets swallowed up.
I mean, who are the under-center quarterbacks, though? Jalen Hurts, because he just falls forward. Like, who else?
The way you have reduced him today, I'm still struggling
with
it.
That is what he does best.
All Jalen Hurts does is fall forward.
That is what you would say he does best.
But that is about their line, bro, and what they do from that. That's a new play.
I guess Kirk takes some under center, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Kirk will do that.
I'd say more than you think. I don't think Goff is on shotgun all the time.
He's there a lot, though.
Sure, a lot. I mean, they open it up, but I don't think he's there all the time.
No, you're right. You're right. Lamar's never under center, is he?
Josh Allen's under center, isn't he?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the breakdown is now.
Yeah, because he's fumbled a bunch of them.
But, I mean, you know, especially if you have a mobile quarterback, you know, you're going to try to – get him out in space.
You have to have the option, bro.
I guess Lamar has been under center quite a bit because they have that power run scheme.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know. I'm not so much worried about that. I'm more worried about, like, can you read the defense and can you not throw picks?
Well, we're going to read them Titans since they want to offer up some painted nail stuff. Was that Jeffrey Simmons talking that stuff?
Yeah.
Can't believe you're already doing that.
Yeah.
We sound like you.
Week one, baby. I mean,
they got to come to the show. We're going to embarrass the Titans. You said they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
I don't believe they're going to be one of the worst.
If they are, then we got to prove it. I thought you said they'd be. When you said four.
I think they will not be that high. I think they'll pick a little lower.
Got you. I misunderstood.
So y'all got the whole AFC South the first damn 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we don't play our own division until like week 10, week 11.
Interesting. So you're going to have to go through C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson two of your first 3 weeks.
I don't think going through Anthony Richardson is the way I would phrase that. Anthony Richardson better watch out for what's about to plow him over.
It's interesting that it's going to be Caleb versus the top quarterbacks, you know, next year. Because he's going to have Will Levis, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Bryce Young for the first 5 weeks. So that's going to be an interesting storyline.
4-1.
How does Caleb stack up against the other generation, the current generation of quarterback in the NFL? Be fun to watch. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Drew Hill for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone. ESPN. ESPN has a 2025 NFL mock draft up. And it's quite fascinating for a number of reasons. One, the number one pick according to ESPN right now in next year's draft, is Carson Beck from Georgia. I did not think he was that guy. I did not think that Carson Beck was a number one type pick, but he apparently is. So I got to update my priors. And then secondly, ESPN has Shedeur Sanders, Colorado, son of Deion, going number two in a trade between the Panthers and the Raiders. The Raiders get up to number two to take Shedeur Sanders. Which
very exciting.
I have the same concerns about Shedeur Sanders that you have about Bryce in terms of the body, right? Shedeur Sanders is not a big guy, and he's not that mobile. He's not a run out of the pocket, elude tacklers. Like, he's a pocket passer when he's at his best. I would enjoy it from the sense of, okay, at least we have a vision. At least we have a plan. But, you know, I do wonder how he'll translate, you know, just because of the size. You know, I don't think of him as a super big guy. 6'2", 215. I mean, it's not light. It's not as light as Bryce.
But Bryce, like 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah,
right?
he's a little bigger than Bryce. But
so it's seeing over the line is not the issue with Shedeur.
He's kind of like, you know.
You're right about weight, though. I mean, he's slight of build.
Who's
6'2"? He's not some big thick dude.
Who's a 6'2 quarterback?
I mean, what's Jalen Hurts? Is he not 6'2"?
I don't know.
Right around that. I'm looking right now. He's 6'1". 223, though. Boy, thick.
Kirk Cousins is 6'2", they say.
Okay.
That can't be right.
6'2 is fine.
That can't be
the,
right.
The height is fine for Shedeur. Here's the deal, John. It's very sexy.
6'3".
It's very sexy. And I am intrigued by the prospect that Shedeur Sanders is.
Dak 6'2".
I got questions. Better plan would be to go after the guy that you just mentioned, the guy that just came out of your mouth. I would go after Dak Prescott before I have more confidence in him.
Absolutely.
Than I do in Shedeur. Now, you're getting a guy that you know what he is. Now, while you may not think he's reached his ceiling in Dak, because there's playoff games that haven't been won by Dak, Super Bowls that haven't been won, you know, you're on the younger end with Shedeur, and
right. You're
catching him on a rookie contract with Sin allows you, obviously, to address the rest of your team. So bringing in Dak on a monster contract, you could argue, isn't as smart as going rookie and all the hope and you know, everything else that you can do with your team because you've got all that rookie money to spend on the rest of the team. But, you know, who do you have more faith in? I mean, Dak Prescott or Shedeur Sanders? I'd if I'm y'all, I'd go after Dak.
Right.
Because y'all got pieces right now.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? A few, especially defensively.
Yep.
And then with DeMonte.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that totally.
Dak over Shedeur.
Yes.
Now, if Dak's out the question, though, I don't mind this plan. You got to go get you a quarterback at some point, whether
right.
It's him, Carson Beck.
Yeah.
You know, you have to try again, to your point.
I've that's kind of like been, once I heard Fitz say that, I was like, all right, that's where my head's at.
I sent a light bulb off with me when he said it
right.
A couple weeks ago.
Because Dak is a competent quarterback. I mean, you could, you know, we could nitpick like we always can, but he's a proven NFL thrower.
Well, the nitpicking about him would be about postseason.
Exactly.
And winning the big one. It's
Dude,
not
what
about
I would,
regular
what
season
I would
numbers.
Give to fail in the playoffs.
Like, come on now. Yeah, getting back to that for the Raiders would be a good thing.
Exactly.
Just making the playoffs on a perennial basis.
Yes. So I think that's
pretty sexy, though. You see where they got us picking 17, which means what? We'll be, what doesn't it mean we'll be just outside
yeah,
the playoffs?
Mediocre. Yeah.
Yeah, just outside.
As you know, I disagree with him that the Panthers will be picking number two.
You don't think it'll be Patriots, Panthers like he's got it listed?
I think Patriots is right. Yes. I don't think the Panthers will be that high, though.
Oh, shock the world, according to you.
I think the Broncos are right. I think the Titans will be higher than four. Commanders could be bad.
Everything, I don't know. And again, it's off-season, it's OTAs. Man, Jaden Daniels, the reviews on him have been way higher than the reviews on Caleb early. Believe me, I've been paying attention.
Well, the expectations are already just so high for Caleb, you know what I mean? Like, it's hard to have more hype.
The whole never having taken this snap from under center.
Right.
He's only been shotgun.
Right.
So we're having to teach him.
Right.
How to take. Now, did Jaden Daniels take some snaps under center? I'm assuming he did.
I don't think so.
They're
dude.
Acting like Caleb has never done it in his life.
I don't you recall know. Seeing Jaden Daniels.
Maybe not. Maybe all their offense was the same. Was the Joe Burrow, you know, drop a couple steps and fire, you know, from shotgun. I don't.
It just seemed like to me. I haven't seen the same sort of, we've got to get him used to taking snaps that I've seen with Caleb Williams, that with Jaden. All the reviews on Jaden so far have just been through the roof. Remember, at one point I thought, might be smarter to take Jaden Daniels than Caleb Williams.
I
hope that I'm not going to end up being right about that.
I just feel like everybody plays quarterback out of shotgun now. Like, you just don't see any under center stuff. I mean, in the NFL you will, but
yeah, you got to be able to do it.
You don't see a ton. You see a lot of,
certainly not from your boy Kyler Murray. He's all shotgun.
Well, yeah, for sure.
Little bug gets swallowed up.
I mean, who are the under center quarterbacks though? Jalen Hurts, because he just falls forward. Like, who else?
The way you have reduced him today, I'm still struggling with
that. That is what he does best.
All Jalen Hurts does is fall forward.
That is what you would say he does best.
But that is about their line, bro, and what they do from that. That's a new play.
I guess Kirk takes some under center, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Kirk will do that.
I'd say more than you think. I don't think Goff is on shotgun all the time.
He's there a lot, though.
Sure, a lot. I mean, they open it up, but I don't think he's there all the time.
No, you're right. You're right. Lamar's never under center, is he?
Josh Allen's under center, isn't he?
I don't know. I don't know what the breakdown is now.
Yeah, because he's fumbled a bunch of them.
But, I mean, you know, especially if you have a mobile quarterback, you know, you're going to try to get him out in space.
You have to have the option, bro.
I guess Lamar's been under center quite a bit because they have that power run scheme, you know. But I don't know. I'm not so much worried about that. I'm more worried about, like, can you read the defense and can you not throw picks?
Well, we're going to read them Titans since they want to offer up some painted nail stuff. Was that Jeffrey Simmons talking that stuff?
Yeah.
Can't believe you're already doing that.
Yeah.
We sound like you.
Week one, baby. I mean,
they got to come to the show. We're going to embarrass the Titans. You said they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league.
I don't believe they're going to be one of the worst.
If they are, then we got to prove it. I thought you said they'd be. When you said four.
I think they will not be that high. I think they'll pick a little lower.
Got you. I misunderstood.
So y'all got the whole AFC South the first damn 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, we don't play our own division until like week 10, week 11.
Interesting. So you're going to have to go through C.J. Stroud and Anthony Richardson two of your first 3 weeks.
I don't think going through Anthony Richardson is the way I would phrase that. Anthony Richardson better watch out for what's about to plow him over.
It's interesting that it's going to be Caleb versus the top quarterbacks, you know, next year. Because he's going to have Will Levis, C.J. Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Bryce Young for the first 5 weeks. So that's going to be an interesting storyline.
4-1.
How does Caleb stack up against the other generation, the current generation of quarterback in the NFL? Be fun to watch. It's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Drew Hill for joining us on the show. Thanks to Jessica Benson as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.